taking their place in a long, true line of everyday Americans.
Helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, this is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans. Welcome to the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution, teach the rising generation to be free. Glad you could join me. And today, I've kind of come to the conclusion that the world's gone nuts. I mean, just playing crazy. And I have some examples I want to bring to you of the insanity that, well, that seems to have taken over our nation, and in many cases, I think maybe taken over the world. Now, today I'm going to start with one that may sound a little odd. You may wonder about this. You see, in reading this article, I found there are only three companies that are responsible for collecting 75% of total plasma donations in the U.S. So there are three companies. One of them is called CSL. And for decades, they followed the FDA recommendations. The FDA recommended caution when collecting blood and plasma from men who have sex with other men because they are at higher risk of transmitting blood-borne diseases. Now, it seems to me to make a lot of sense, right? If someone is active in a behavior that increases their risk, maybe you don't want to use them for giving blood. You know, if you have a person who has been known to say overindulge in alcohol, maybe you don't want to hire them as a limo driver. Just seems to make sense. Apparently, recently, the Minnesota Department of Human Rights announced an agreement with CSL to take blood from practically anybody after it was sued. You see, the Minnesota Department of Human Rights seems to believe it is a human right to donate blood, and that the rights of the recipients are less important than the rights of the people donating blood. Now, apparently, this all started back in 2016, when what's listed as a transgender woman, which means a man who thinks he's a woman, filed a complaint with the Minnesota Department of Human Rights for not accepting blood because they said his blood would be at a higher risk of possibly giving someone else a deadly disease. Now, maybe it's just the fact that we've had the better part of 2 years dealing with this nonsense with COVID, where we're terrified of anything that might possibly make us sick. But again, that would be thinking too rationally to say, you know what? The Food and Drug Administration, which has looked at or supposedly looked at scientific studies of viral transmission patterns, said, you know what? Men who have sex with other men, biological men, real men, you know, I don't care what the transgender nonsense to call them, XY chromosomes, having sex with other XY chromosomes, I don't know how more specific I can be, makes them more likely to transmit blood-borne illnesses. But again, that doesn't matter because we've lost all sense of logic and reason. According to the Minnesota Department of Human Rights, not only is it a human right to donate blood, but is a human right to not only donate blood, but to do so whether or not you are a danger to others. Now, I find this amazing since for, like I said, the better part of 2 years, I've been told I don't have a right to make other people sick, that I have to wear a mask to prevent other people from getting sick, even though masks don't prevent people from getting COVID. We're being told now that we have to take an experimental injection, even though the data shows that that injection doesn't prevent you from spreading the disease. But here we have evidence that says, you know what? This type of behavior makes them more statistically more likely to be a danger to others in the case of a blood product. But you see, that doesn't matter because, well, this is one of the special protected classes. These are confused people. These are people with a mental disorder. They think they are a man when they're a woman, or they think they're a woman when they're a man. They're confused. They can't look down and figure out their biology. And that seems to trump everything. We've entered a world where reality doesn't matter. What people think matters. So I guess, you know what? I'm just going to think I'm Bill Gates and I'm a billionaire and I can just go buy whatever I want because, well, let's see, I self-identify as a billionaire. Well, the fact that I don't have $1 billion shouldn't matter. I self-identify as a billionaire. You know what? Maybe I should self-identify as a track star. Now, granted, I'm overweight. I'm not that fast. I'm not in great shape. But you know what? I identify as a track star. So I should be allowed to compete and I should be given gold medals because I identify as a track star. Now, you may listen to that and go, Paul, you're nuts. But everyone else is doing it. If you're telling me that the medical safety of the medical safety of the blood supply, because think about it, it's not simply that this person gives blood. Who's going to receive that blood? Is that blood marked? Is it identified so that someone can be informed and saying, hey, by the way, the blood you're about to receive, yeah, sure, you've just been to an accident, you're unconscious, you're bleeding from all over the place, but the blood you're about to receive may have come from somebody who's statistically highly more likely to have a bloodborne disease to share with you. Can you sign this waiver that says, yes, we understand that, and we want the blood? I know. The logical part of my mind just thinks the entire country has just gone completely crazy. Absolutely, positively, without a doubt, certifiably insane. When someone's perception, someone's desire to give blood supersedes the medical screening of blood products that'll be given to somebody else without full informed consent. Because unless, as I said, you're informing them that there's a higher risk of disease with this blood, well, then you're not giving informed consent. We've gone crazy. This is the world that we live in. Well, it's the world that we live in because we sit back and let it happen. See, we live in a world now where parents involved in the school district or who are unhappy with what the school is doing are now labeled domestic terrorists. Now, when I was a child, when I was small, when I was in fifth grade, living in New York City, the problem of overcrowded classrooms is nothing new. There was a lot of kids in our class. And my mother volunteered. She came in several days a week, and she just helped out. Helped out in the classroom, helped keep things organized. She offered to help. She wanted to be involved. And I remember one day I was hurt at school. I was hurt by the actions of another child. Now, my mother met with the principal of the school. Now, you have to remember, this is probably now early 70s, right? Early 1970s. And my mother goes in and wants to know what's being done with this. And, you know, the principal made the mistake of telling my mother to wait till when father got home and have my father come in and talk to him. You didn't do that to my mother. By the way, for you who don't know, my mother became an auxiliary policewoman with the NYPD in the 1970s. Not the best years to do that. And she rose to the rank of sergeant. She was not a woman you dealt with lightly. She was a sweet lady. I loved her dearly, but she was not somebody to toy with. But she was not referred to as a domestic terrorist for getting in this principal's face saying, you will not wait till my husband gets here. You will deal with me and you will deal with me now. Yet today we have parents that are, I believe, justifiably upset with what is coming out of some of these schools, with the training in racism, with the more and more reports of of school teachers ignoring school policy and teaching these racist doctrines behind schools' back, hiding this information from parents, school boards that are not responsive to the parents they're supposed to serve. And these parents are upset and they're getting tired of dealing with it. So when the National Association of School Boards sent a letter to the Biden administration, saying they should be labeled as they should be labeled as domestic terrorists without providing one example of an actual threat made to a school board member. Not showing where they're being threatened, not showing where they're being endangered. No, you have parents that are visibly upset. Well, guess what? The parents, they're not putting up with it. There was a protest the other day outside the Justice Department saying, how dare you call us domestic terrorists for standing up and protecting our children? That's what our world has become. The schools have gotten so corrupted. There are school boards that don't want to hear from parents. And if the parents don't simply follow along with what the school board says, they get labeled domestic terrorists. You know, the sad part is the school board is asking for terrorists. They're trying to intimidate the parents into simply sitting down and shutting up. But I think what they're going to find are the parents are really going to stand up. And if they're lucky, all these parents will do is shout and scream and vote for someone else. But I know a lot of parents that if you threaten their children, their reaction isn't going to be subtle. And I pray that it remains nothing but words. But you can't poke a bear in the eye too many times before the bear strikes back. But what I find interesting are the number of school boards the Pennsylvania School Board Association that are quitting the National School Boards Association. So apparently this group, the National School Boards Association, may have gotten out over their skis. They may have gone too far in trying to label disgruntled parents as domestic terrorists. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to see parents standing up going, give me a break. No. We rule the school boards, not the other way around. Parents and their school boards saying, you know what? We don't want to be associated with a group that cannot take criticism. That's response to criticism is to label people terrorists. It's sad that we've gotten to the point where school boards don't listen to parents, where most parents aren't even involved in their school boards, where you don't get your way, you simply come up with a real nasty name for your opponent. And so often that works. So I'm glad to see these parents demonstrating. I'm glad to see these state school board associations quitting the National School Board Association. The fact that we've got here shows that the world's nuts. The fact that there are some people standing up saying, maybe we can survive this. Maybe we can get better. But I think we only get better once we recognize that there's a problem. That's generally the first step, right? You recognize there's a problem, and then you go about figuring out what the answer is. But I think we need to recognize, yeah, there's a problem. There's a pretty serious problem. Now let's take a look at something else where life just seems to have gone crazy, and that is this push for mail-in ballots. Now I understand there are times when people cannot be present to vote. Originally started for the military, I've cast exactly one mail-in vote. I've voted in every presidential election since I turned 18. There's been quite a few of them. And once and only once did I use a mail-in ballot, an absentee ballot. And that was because I was not in the state. I was living in upstate New York, and I was on an assignment. I was going to be in North Carolina for a month. That included Election Day. So I notified the county clerk, said, listen, I'm going to be out of town. I'm not going to be able to get back here to vote. I was given a mail-in ballot. I filled out the ballot, and I mailed it in and therefore participated. But this push to have, you know, everybody simply allow mail-in ballots, well, it's dangerous. And I've already talked about some of the dangers. But what's interesting is there's a group called the America First Policy Institute. And they did a study. They issued a report talking about the issues with an all mail-in ballot, or what they call a mass mail-in ballot. And it deals with certain things. For example, they note that before ballot counting before Election Day is fraught with the potential of fraud. He says, however, states need to begin verifying the validity of these ballots beforehand to avoid delays on Election Day. He said there should be a set of procedures in place to ensure that legal ballots are secured and counted quickly. The longer the process is drawn out, the greater chance for error to be introduced into the into it as ineligible ballots may be counted. At the same time, states and jurisdictions should ensure and safeguard beforehand that there are only legally cast ballots. Now, why is this important? Well, the part of the problem is, how do you make sure that the ballot that you're counting is actually the one that was cast? In other words, you get a mail-in ballot. You fill out the mail-in ballot and you send it back. Well, how do you know that that's being counted properly? When I vote in person, I'm voting at the machine and I see the tally when I hit OK and my ballot is recorded. So there's a problem with mass mail-in ballots. You've got really dirty voter rolls where they show multiple people living at the same address that haven't lived there for years, sometimes decades. You have people who have died that are still on the voter rolls. So this idea of simply mass sending out mail-in ballots, that's like begging for fraud. I mean, you might as well be walking through a dangerous neighborhood flaunting cash and saying, hey, come mug me. I mean, it truly is begging for fraud. And while I'm sure the vast majority of Americans would not commit fraud, there will always be a certain number of people for whom the ends justify the means and would be more than willing to commit fraud in order to get the answer they want, the outcome they want. Just look at what they've already found in Georgia, in Arizona. Even remember with the recall election in California, there was a gentleman before the election actually started that had several hundred ballots in his car. It opens it for risks. Next, this group, the America First Policy Institute, notes that the U.S. Postal Service sets no delivery system, so it's not uncommon for ballots to be lost in the mail and go uncounted. See, it everyone's complaining about you can't cast your ballot. Well, what happens if your ballot doesn't get delivered? Now, there are things that can be done. But again, if you're dependent on the U.S. Postal Service, well, at best, you could put some sort of tracking system so that the person sending the mail-in ballot could at least be sure that, know when it gets delivered. But again, there's no option there. And of course, the other problem you have with that is, do you have systems in place to make sure that after someone has cast a mail-in ballot, they don't then show up in person and cast a real ballot? One of the problems in the California recall election, where there were several people who reported that when they showed up to vote in person, they were told they'd already voted. They'd already sent a mail-in ballot when they hadn't done so. So you open yourself up to more fraud. And you're asking for these troubles. Yet it seems like a lot of people in the country, they don't care about the fraud. They just want mail-in ballots. Everybody should vote. And maybe that's the point. See, I always have to wonder, I want to give people the benefit of the doubt and say that the vast majority of people who are pushing for mail-in ballots really just want everybody to have a chance to vote, and they really haven't thought through the consequences or issues of mail-in ballots. Now, I always vote in person. Even if I'm eligible for a mail-in ballot, I vote in person. Why? Because of chain of custody. The ballot gets issued to me, I fill it out, I submit it to a poll worker. From the time it is issued to the time it is submitted for counting, it is never out of my control. Never. It's either in the hands of a poll worker or me. And that, to me, something as important as a vote, that to me is worth the extra time and effort to actually vote in person. But I understand, not everybody can. Even I haven't always been able to. So we have, I do believe we should have processes, but again, they should be the exception, not the rule. Why? Because they are more open to fraud, so you want to minimize the opportunity for that fraud. But I agree. I will give the benefit of the doubt that the majority of the people who are pushing for mail-in ballots just want to make sure that everybody who can legally cast a ballot has the opportunity to legally cast a ballot. They just maybe aren't thinking all the way through the consequences of that. But I also know human nature. There will always be people for whom the ends justify the means. And if it means committing fraud to get the outcome they want, well, they're willing to do it. And if we don't have systems in place, if we don't have mechanisms in place to protect that, well, then you expose yourself to fraud. Let me give you an analogy. Now, there's a certain type of fish, puffer fish, blowfish, I think it's called. And it's a delicacy in Japan. But you have to be careful. See, if it's not handled just right, the eating this fish is deadly. And I don't mean, you know, oh, you'll go home, you know, it's like bad clams, you'll go home with a little food poisoning, you won't feel good for a few days. I mean you die. Which means it's very hard to get puffer fish because of how dangerous it is if it's not handled just right. But imagine, you know, okay, you decide, I don't want to have puffer fish because every time I have puffer fish, there's a chance that I might get a badly handled puffer fish and it might kill me. Now, maybe there are situations where you have to have puffer fish. But the question is, are you going to go out of your way to have puffer fish knowing that it might kill you? Now, I know there are people who actually enjoy the thrill, the dance with death, and will go out of their way to get puffer fish because it's a thrill. But the vast majority of people look at this as going, I maybe want to avoid puffer fish as much as possible. You could make the same example around anything that has a potential danger to it. You want to minimize your exposure to that danger. I've followed auto racing my entire life. Every driver knows there's a chance they could be seriously injured or killed when they're racing in a car. They do everything they can to minimize the possibility of that happening. Even though they know it can happen, they minimize the possibilities. Rules are made, cars are built, safety gear is used to minimize that chance. And to a driver that would go out of their way to increase the chances that they're going to have a serious accident and potentially die, well, they're crazy. And I don't know of a sanctioning body that would allow a driver to do this. Interestingly enough, one of the most famous instances of this is actually Dale Earnhardt Sr. Now, Dale Earnhardt Sr. was one of the best known drivers. He was a favorite NASCAR driver in the U.S., especially through the 80s and 90s. But he was a bit arrogant. He was a great guy. I've heard some wonderful stories about him. But you know, when it came to driving, he wanted to do things his way. And this manufacturer of a seatbelt wasn't thrilled with the way his seatbelt was mounted in the car. Now, understand, seatbelt, it isn't the three-point belt you have in your car, right? It's a five-point. Now they're going to a six-point harness, and it's designed to hold you in place under extremely difficult forces. But they didn't like it. It's like, well, there's a chance it could, if not fail, it could not work properly. And they warned him about it repeatedly. But you see, Dale Earnhardt liked the way it worked. He said, I'm fine. It's working just fine. I've never had a problem with it. I'm comfortable with it. I don't like the way you want me to run this, so I'm not going to do it. And then one day he had an accident. And it was a serious accident. But part of the problem is exactly what his seatbelt manufacturers warned about happened. The seatbelt coupling slipped and it allowed his body to move out of position so that when he had the impact, it literally broke the base of his skull. Now, drivers learned from that and they did a couple of things. One is drivers paid a little more attention to how their seatbelts were mounted. but they also looked at ways to minimize the chance of that type of injury. And that's just as true when you're talking about fraud in an election. Every time you open yourself to more possibilities of fraud, every time you resist mechanisms designed solely to make sure that fraud doesn't happen, you open yourself to a possibility of fraud, of elections being stolen, of the will of the people, the people who are hiring the representatives not actually hiring them. What their vote totals, the election is not what the people voted for. And in a republic, a representative republic that we have, that's dangerous. Because if we the people no longer have that check on our government actors, if we no longer choose our government actors, if it's just a kabuki theater of going through the motions while the decision is made by others in violation of the law, well, then we're no longer a republic. We're no longer the land of the free because we're no longer choosing our elected representatives. And we just go along as if it's still true. And the dangers of that are we never fix the problem that we have. So while I believe it is appropriate to have certain restrictive methods for people who cannot vote in person to vote, I believe we need to do everything we can to minimize that ability, and when it is necessary, to ensure that the ballots that are counted are not only legitimate ballots, but they are legal ballots. Now, before I head off to break, I want you guys to check out HealthyCell.com. You know, vitamins haven't changed much since the 1930s. Well, that is until HealthyCell came along and they reinvented the vitamin. Instead of a pill, it's a travel-ready gel pack. You can take the pack directly or mix it with food or beverage and get the vitamins your body needs. And they're designed to be absorbed at the cellular level so that your body, again, gets the nutrition that it needs. Now, they have several different formulas. I've talked about most of them, but sometimes you get to the end of the day and you know what I mean, you're fuzzy-headed. You're not all there. You're having a hard time focusing. Maybe you reach for that extra cup of coffee, maybe for an energy drink or an energy shot. We see all those have their problems. Now, trust me, I love my coffee, but you know, caffeine is a stimulant that at the end of the day leaves you down. Those energy drinks, lots of sugar, lots of caffeine, they give you that boost, but then they're followed by a crash. Well, that with focus and recall. It is designed to boost your focus, to boost your short-term and long-term memory so that you can work better, more effectively without the problems of caffeine and highs and lows and crashes. So give it a try. And as an America Out Loud listener, you'll get 20% off your first order. Just go to healthycell.com/outloud. Again, check out the Focus and Recall or any of their products. Just make sure you go to HealthyCell.com, use the code OUTLOUD, or go to HealthyCell.com OUTLOUD to get 20% off your very first order because you're our America Out Loud listener.
AmericaOutLoud.com. Simply put, we're patriots who believe in Ronald Reagan's vision of a shining city on a hill. From sea to shining sea, you can listen in on iHeartRadio. Our free apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa, or our world-class media player. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with HealthyCell. founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level. Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study, and today, well, we're pretty much noting the world's gone crazy. Then again, until you realize that the world's gone crazy, you can't deal with it. You can't fix it. You can't even live in it until we realize that the world has gone crazy. Now, another area where the world's gone crazy is this whole incident around January 6th. Now, I know it's been called an insurrection. I know that the leadership in the House have been putting on a kangaroo court in complete violation of, by the way, the Constitution in so many ways. Let's start with the fact that Congress, according to the Constitution, Congress is a legislative arm. That means their job is to pass laws. And there's nothing in this, quote unquote, investigation being done by this special committee that has anything to do with legislating. They are attempting to investigate and, if not directly prosecute, influence the prosecution of laws, violations of the Constitution. They are not authorized to do that. They are issuing subpoenas. They are even ordering companies to hold records. Again, where in the Constitution is Congress authorized to investigate crimes? Where is Congress authorized? Is it, well, we want to write new laws. Okay, that would have nothing to do with what happened on January 6th. It could not. That would be an ex post facto law, which is forbidden by the Constitution. No, this is a witch hunt. This is nothing but a political witch hunt. Especially when you compare the fact that what little damage was done in the Capitol on January 6th. Two people died. One was a Capitol police officer who died of a heart attack that had nothing to do with the actions of the people there. Two was an unarmed Air Force officer who was shot trying to enter a secured area. Unarmed officer, an unarmed military officer shot by U.S. Capitol Police, and the Capitol Police actually refused to identify the officer. The officer, I believe, came forward of his own accord. But compare that to what happened last summer when you had real riots going on outside of federal buildings and federal courthouses. Damage, destruction. You had parts of several cities that were effectively annexed. The local government was effectively removed from parts of the own city, and they established their own, what was it? They called it chop, chap, chump, whatever. Those get ignored. But the demonstrations that happen on the Capitol, they're treated as if it's, you know, the worst thing since, what, Pearl Harbor? Let's ignore the riots and the destruction of property, the injuries caused that summer in Washington, D.C. We'll ignore that, but you have this political witch hunt. And then to add insult to injury, the people who have been held in jail, often for months, some of them in solitary confinement for what is a property crime, trespass, in some cases, okay, damage of public property. This has nothing to do with sanity. This has nothing to do with justice. This is political. It's part political grandstanding, part, just plain tyranny. If you are a member of the Democratic Party, there are those in the Democratic Party who have supported, who have paid their own money to bail out people who attacked local law enforcement, who damaged federal property, local property, private property. They are bailed out, but those same Democrats are supporting keeping people in jail indefinitely, awaiting trial for what minor property crimes. Nobody was injured or killed except for by the actions of these. The only people injured or killed were killed by the Capitol Police. In fact, there's video evidence of the Capitol Police allowing these people onto public property. Now, I'd even make a statement that, hey, this is public property. How can you trespass on property you part own? But this is crazy. This is nuts. Yet the people sit by and like they're watching a sideshow, watching these quote-unquote politicians, these people alleged to represent us, using an incident, a disagreement among the population. By the way, people who were complaining about the constitutional violations of the president in the presidential election, they're treated like political prisoners. How is this any different than Soviet Russia? How is this any different than North Korea or communist China? If you're politically disfavored, you get set aside and you get specially treated, you get special attention. But if you're in the right political party, if you're the right side, well, you can get away with just about anything. For example, one of the detainees, Christopher Warrell. Now, he's been charged with civil disorder and other counts. Okay. He's been dealing with a fractured finger and cancer since he was arrested in March. In June, an orthopedic surgeon at a nearby hospital recommended that he have surgery to repair the fracture. Now, the fracture is still in the process of being approved, though, by the U.S. Marshals. And in fact, Warrell's attorneys and the prosecutors have been trying to get information. There have been multiple requests from the U.S. Marshals and from the D.C. Department of Corrections. In fact, the D.C. Department of Corrections has yet to respond with the medical records necessary to deal with this particular issue. Now, again, I've never had a broken finger, never had a fractured finger. I imagine it's pretty painful. But this man is being denied medical care, and basically the judge ordered the D.C. jail and Department of Corrections to provide the records of the court, but they didn't respond. This is the effect. You know, this is our D.C. police. They are holding a defendant with medical needs. They're denying him medical treatment. When ordered by a judge to provide the information, apparently they, at least the people from the jail, have not. Now he's ordered, the judge has ordered them to appear and show why they shouldn't be held for contempt. Judge, I'd actually take it beyond contempt. This has got to be a violation of the cruel and unusual punishment. Isn't it? I mean, you have a man who has not yet been convicted of a crime and he's being denied medical treatment either through the ineptness or the active withholding of information by the D.C. Police Department, the D.C. Department of Corrections, and the D.C. jail. Can they get away with it simply because, well, see, these were the nasty, quote-unquote, insurrectionists. These aren't insurrectionists. These are, right now, these are political prisoners. I mean, right now, the D.C. jail is little more than Lubyanka Prison, which was the head of the KGB. They're being held and they're being treated, and they're being treated horribly. At least this man is. They're being held for ridiculous amounts of time for disorderly conduct. Months in jail awaiting trial for disorderly conduct. Is that a free, is that a speedy trial as required by the Sixth Amendment? The answer to that is no. But we live in crazy times because the rule of law doesn't matter anymore. So if you happen to be, if you happen to be part of Antifa or BLM and you want to riot, you want to commit property damage, you want to commit assault, you want to attack police officers with serious, if not potentially deadly weapons, you get bailed out. But if you happen to stand and say, wait a second, this election was flawed. At least five states violated the Constitution. There is evidence, not simple conjecture. There is evidence that five states violated the Constitution, illegally appointed electors for the President of the United States. And in doing so, apparently these people did enter the Capitol. Of course, it seems like they had the permission of the Capitol. Some, at least some of them had permission of the Capitol Police. Did some do some property damage? Apparently. But for that, you spend months languishing in jail. Does that make sense to anybody? It does if you're a political operative, because this has nothing to do with the law. This is a political attack. But again, we live in crazy times, especially when some recently released records from the police show Ashley Babbitt was unarmed. I mentioned her before, but records were released were received by Judicial Watch, I believe under a FOIA request. And it showed that Ms. Babbitt, who was fatally shot for trying to enter a secured area inside the Capitol. Now, the officer, Michael Byrd, he identified himself as the shooter because the U.S. Capitol Police refused to identify who it was. Tell me, we've had officers charged with excessive force for saving the life or serious injury of a black woman from another black woman, but here we have a fatal shooting of what is proven now to be an unarmed intruder. And the U.S. Capitol Police would not even offer up the name, much less go through a publicly available investigation. Now, I give this officer Byrd, I give him props for identifying himself. He probably could have just kept his mouth shut, but I believe it was the right thing to do. But the fact that right now, if you're a police officer doing your job enforcing the law against what is a group approved of by the media, then you get vilified, you get lied about. But if you are a law enforcement officer that makes what is potentially a bad decision, we don't have all the details, but I think it should at least be investigated. No, we don't worry about that being investigated. You're shielded by the Capitol Police. And we live in crazy times. The law doesn't matter anymore. Right now, Washington, D.C. has nothing to do with law. It has everything to do with politics. If you're aligned with the right political persuasion, you can get away with anything. If you're aligned with the wrong political persuasion, anything you do is assumed to be evil and racist. How else can you explain an officer seeing a black woman about to be assaulted by another black woman and coming to her defense, being charged with police brutality, when you have another officer shooting an unarmed woman. Granted, she was in the process of potentially committing a crime. If she was entering a secured area, I'd certainly be questions, but the law at the time says, yes, that is a secured area. That's trespass. That's not a capital offense. That is not putting people in imminent threat of death or serious bodily injury. So that would be an illegal use of force. But you see, we're not even going to investigate that. No, no, no. We're going to investigate the people that showed up and demonstrated. Not the people that demonstrated and did damage. No, the people, you know, that did serious damage, assaulted people in order to enter and trespass and do damage. No, we're gonna have a kangaroo court in the Congress to try in the court of public opinion people who enter the Capitol, apparently in some cases with the permission of Capitol Police. Tell me we don't live in crazy world. Tell me we don't. And then we have the report of Joe Biden telling the DOJ that they should prosecute witnesses who defy this kangaroo court committee's opinion. Now, again, Congress is not legally authorized to conduct investigations. So they're violating the Constitution. They don't have the legal authority to run an investigation, to try a case, but yet they're calling for subpoenas. They have no subpoena power. The whole concept of a subpoena is a superior ordering an inferior. Congress is not superior to the people of the United States. Those subpoenas are void. Not my words. Supreme Court of the United States. An act of Congress that is repugnant to the Constitution is void, empty, meaningless. There's no warrant issued. There's no legal justification to seize these people, to demand they show up. But of course, President Biden doesn't care about that because he likes the kangaroo court. How dare somebody challenge his ascension to the throne? So with an out-of-control Congress and an out-of-control executive egging them on, saying, oh, hey, you want to issue subpoenas? Granted, we don't care that you're not legally issued subpoenas. We've said we're legally able to issue subpoenas, and what we say goes. So the president says, hey, you should prosecute those. How about we prosecute the president? Because that is a crime. He is talking about illegally detaining people for failure to comply with an illegal subpoena. By the way, the Supreme Court, I believe the case is, I can't remember the case. It's Elkhart versus United States. The court recognized the right of people to resist unlawful arrest. So if President Biden wants to prosecute somebody, if he wants to arrest somebody, understand that is an illegitimate arrest. Where is the probable cause of a crime? Well, they didn't follow a subpoena. Well, guess what? The subpoena is not valid because Congress isn't given subpoena authority. They don't have investigatory responsibility. They don't have judicial responsibility. This is just more kangaroo court. And just because Congress said we have the power to subpoena doesn't mean diddly squat, because only laws made pursuant to the Constitution matter. We have a criminal organization in Washington, D.C., and this is just more evidence of it. Oh, you want more? Well, data was presented to a House Committee on Veterans Affairs claiming that 66% of the 110 domestic terrorism plots or attacks committed in 2020 were committed by right-wing extremists. Oh, sounds terrible. It's awful. You got to deal with those right-wing extremists. However, the report didn't include the study. They admitted nearly all of the roughly 450 violent protests in 2020. Notice they said, 66% of the domestic terror, of the 110 terrorism plots or attacks. There were 450 violent protests between May and August of 2020. That's right, 450. Isn't it interesting that only 110 get marked as domestic terrorism, and two-thirds of those were done by right-wing, quote-unquote right-wing extremists. Tell me, does that include the people that noted that the presidential election was being manipulated, was not being held in compliance with the Constitution, and were then vilified as insurrectionists? Does that fall under the right-wing extremist? I bet you it does. But again, data doesn't matter. You know what they say? There are three types of lies. Lies, darn lies, and statistics. So we'll just omit the data that doesn't uphold our narrative. And you expect to get some sort of justice. How can you expect justice from a criminal empire? Washington, D.C. has become... go back to the Constitution study. Go to constitutionstudy.com/redeclaration. You will see that everything we complained about King George in 1776, I can apply directly to Washington, D.C. in 2021. We live in a crazy world, folks. A world where not one, but two people are denied kidney transplants simply because the donor didn't have a vaccine. That's right. An experimental biologic. It's not even legally a vaccine. The FDA tried to rewrite the definition of vaccine to make it seem like it's a vaccine, but it's not a vaccine. So a kidney donor, in one case, both the donor and the recipient would not be vaccinated. Here, the donor won't be vaccinated, and they are going to deny life-saving surgery to someone because the donor would not get vaccinated. A vaccine that's been proven to not stop the spread of COVID, to not stop the infection of COVID, to at best mitigate the symptoms of COVID. Do you want to live in a world where whether or not you get medical treatment is dependent on you submitting to a government tyrant's order to take an experimental vaccine, to become a guinea pig, to become a test subject? How about Colorado State University that's threatening to arrest students, unvaccinated students, for trespass? Now, again, Colorado State University is public property, which means it's owned by the people. It's owned by the public. How can you trespass on property you partly own? So now, there's talk that the Colorado State University says they're going to arrest students. Now, in a letter to students who had not yet gotten the vaccine or gotten an exemption, it said that non-compliant students on campus property were trespassing and could be cited or arrested. Now, I'm not familiar with the details of Colorado law, but in order to be trespassing, the owner has to declare that they're trespassing. If it's a public university, the owner's the people. Not the president, not the board, it's the people that own it. So they're going to be marked as trespass, cited, and arrested for not taking an experimental vaccine. We have gone into crazy land. Because if we start looking at the actual data, not the scare tactics coming out of Washington, coming out of fake Fauci, out of the CDC, out of the FDA, out of the media, you actually look at the data. And what you find out is that the vaccinated are equally likely to catch and spread the virus. So much for needing the vaccine to stop the spread or to protect others. No, the vaccinated are equally likely to catch and spread the virus. The vaccine side effects continue to accumulate, that there's a risk of serious illness and death with taking this vaccine. So you're telling me that people must risk the side effects of the vaccine for no good reason, simply because some idiot bureaucrat has said so. Tell me, it's not the unvaccinated that are stupid. We're dealing with a pandemic of the stupid and the vaccinated, those who willingly submitted to being medical experiments simply because some bureaucrat said so. Now, I've said, we are living in stupid land. We're living in crazy land. Facts, data, rationality, all blown out the window. They don't matter anymore if you listen to the politicians, to the pundits, to the media. See, that's the important thing. You know, they say the one-eyed man is in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. All it takes is a little bit of knowledge to not go down this crazy path. A little bit of knowledge, a little bit of intestinal fortitude. But it starts with recognizing the craziness and the stupidity. It's looking at the emperor's new clothes and realizing they ain't there. It's the person that stands up and points and says the emperor is naked that starts things off. But we have to join with them and say, you know what? You're right. They're naked. They're lying to you. They're manipulating you. That they no longer represent you. Whether it's the Minnesota lawsuit that said the blood that you may have to take if you need it can come someone with high risk factors simply because it's a right to donate blood. You can be called a domestic terrorist simply for loudly disagreeing with political operatives, with the powers that be. Your elections don't matter anymore. We will lie, cheat, steal, and if you complain about it, we'll put you in jail. And we'll deny you medical treatment. We'll deny you your rights. We'll deny the Constitution. We'll have Congress form a committee, an illegal committee, issue illegal subpoenas, all in an attempt to vilify political prisoners in gulags. And now we find out that if you don't submit to your masters, you could be denied medical treatment. You could be denied an education, even if you've paid for it. You can even be arrested for trespassing, for going around public property without a vaccine. All in direct opposition to the readily available facts and data. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not dealing with a pandemic of a virus. We're dealing with a pandemic of tyranny. And the first step is recognizing it. The second step in dealing with it is educating yourself. I'm putting on a tour called Knowing Your Rights, where I point out the fallacy of so much of what we're being taught, the lies that we are being taught, and how you can defend your rights. I'm going to be in the Tampa area November 9th and 10th. If you are anywhere between Nashville and Florida, reach out. Go to constitutionstudy.com/tour. If you're in Tampa and you want to attend, they're on the tour page now. If you want me to come speak to your group, well, just fill out the form. Let me come and teach you how to live as free citizens, not subjects and slaves. But it's going to take a little bit of work. It's not going to be quick. It's not going to be easy, but it is doable. You start by recognizing what's wrong. You educate yourself on how to defend yourself and your rights. And then we teach others how to live free. That's the crux of what we're doing here. So I want to remind you, you can find out more about my show and get all the latest episodes. Just go to AmericaOutloud.com and under the menu, find our shows or schedule and click on the Constitution Study and you can be in the know.
Stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.